Oh my goodness, ladies and gentlemen, a Tim May Show bonus, a bonus edition of the Tim May Show featuring a man I've wanted to have on for quite a while now, the native, the grand native of Hobart, Oklahoma, and you probably know him better as running first the Bowl Championship Series and then the College Football Playoff, built, basically building it from scratch. Here, Bill Hancock, this is our idea. Now you go make it happen, but Bill Hancock, finally, welcome to the Tim May Show, my man.
Yeah, it's great to see you, and I'm honored to be on. Appreciate it.
I'll tell you what, before we came on, we were already throwing small town newspaper stories at each other, and they were hitting like snowballs, right? But we could talk about that forever. But you know, maybe we'll have another one of these, and we'll reminisce. But I wanted to ask you this, Bill: when somebody came up with this idea, number one, of a bowl championship series, I thought. And me and, you know, one of my best friends is Jeff Snook. We just thought, hey, it's about time. I know you know Jeff real well, but it's about time you left the arguing, a little bit of the arguing to the side and figured this thing out and had a champion. I'm just wondering, you know, when they approached you with this idea, what did you think about the Bowl Championship Series?
Well, I was director of the NCAA Final Four, when the men's Final Four, when the BCS started, and I loved it. And that we would not have a CFP if we hadn't had BCS. And the commissioners just said, we got to figure out a way to have number one and two have a chance to meet in a bowl game, which it was just luck if they met before. It had to be Ohio State and Southern Cal or Penn State, you know, Miami or something like that. So they created the BCS. And then after 16 years, it was decided, hey, let's have a playoff. And they did ask me to start it. I was the only staff member, and I was too stupid to be scared. And my goodness, I'm so proud of what it's become.
Stupid to be scared. I mean, you're in the NCAA basketball tournament, and then you're in the BCS. My man, you know, you had the only resume that fit. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but what did you learn about running the NCAA tournament that you applied immediately to the BCS and then, of course, to the College Football Playoff?
You learn to listen, you learn to treat people right, and more practically, we took a lot of our principles for the selection committee from the NCAA tournament committee. We
Sure.
had the luxury of things we didn't like. We didn't have to move. We didn't have to take things we did like. We did take, but the biggest difference was the overall acceptance of the NCAA tournament. You know, they started in 1939. We didn't start CFP till 2014. But on the other hand, college football is magical. And the passion for college football is over the top. And that's what I love about it.
Hey, you know what's funny, Bill? And we don't have time to hit every point I want to hit, but you want to call it the destiny of that 2014 Ohio State team beating Wisconsin 59-0 and the committee coming together and going, got to have Ohio State in this tournament. Look, they're playing with their third-string quarterback, and look what he did. Cardale Jones, look what he did. Look what Zeke Elliott did against a really good defense and scored all these points. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to get you to play to Ohio State fans here, but that almost Cinderella story of the way they lost their starting quarterback. They lost a game earlier in the year, but at the end of the year, they were the best team in the land. That really gave – the CFP, the launching pad it needed, right?
That's right. I mean, we were lucky that we had a chance to see Cardale Jones play. That we didn't have that, you know, last year with Florida State when they lost their quarterback.
Right.
But Cardale Jones could do it, and he had a great supporting staff, cast. And, of course, we had a great event in Dallas, and they beat a good team in Dallas. You probably remember that Barry Alvarez was on the selection committee.
Yes.
And we all watched that 59-0 game together. And that was a hard one for Barry. I have a lot of respect for Barry. I like him a lot. But that was a hard night for him. But the Buckeyes, they had it going. And I'll tell you, the other thing I loved about that championship game was the attendance by the Buckeyes fans. And people said they travel well. Well, they do. But, man, there's a lot of Buckeyes in Dallas-Fort Worth. And I think every one of them came to the game.
Yeah, and of course, you know, to get there, they had to beat Alabama in that ridiculous game and in the Sugar Bowl. And, I mean, you had to be sitting there, this new tournament. I mean, because you're taking one thing and guaranteeing a one versus two, but then when you guarantee a one versus four and a two versus three, are people going to buy into it, right? I mean, I know you knew you were working with a given there, maybe, but it still has to happen, right? And it was blockbuster.
Well, the given we had was that the people love college football
Correct.
and they can't get enough of it. And we've always had Team Five. Gosh, when I was doing the tournament back then, we had Team 65
Yes.
that was unhappy. And we knew there would be a Team 13 or whatever that got left out. And I mean, if we expanded the CFP to 32, Team 33 would be unhappy with us and they'd be writing you letters to the editor, right?
Yes,
You don't get,
absolutely.
hey, you don't get nasty email or call or text, do you,
No,
team?
absolutely not. I'm just I'm angelic. I think is the way most people describe me when they're squinting. But I wanted to ask you this. You and I were talking in the last two stops at I think the Rose Bowl, and I think you were at the Rose Bowl. Where did I see you first? I think, but then I saw you this past weekend at in Dallas, and just briefly speaking, the games at this tournament, yeah, the first round games went about the way you thought, right? To a certain extent. But the quarterfinals were ridiculous in most quarters. And then the semis, how can you get any better than those semifinals, right? And it has this delivered, in your opinion, the move to 12? How would you describe it?
Well, we did have fantastic games in the quarters and semis and but you can't control what happens on the field. We had
Correct.
blowouts in the tournament and everybody loved the tournament, but we'd go to the championship game and it'd be somebody win by 40 points. I remember the Duke UNLV game.
Yes.
That's a long time ago. That's before a lot of your listeners were born, Tim. You and I were alive,
Yeah, I was around.
but it works. 12 works and it's just been fantastic. I'm very proud of it.
You're retiring or retiring from the college football playoff, situation. And I'm just wondering, as you leave it behind, besides being proud of it, what do you think it's done more than anything else? Has proven the fact that there are more than two capable teams? I mean, what do you think that's really been borne out from this, just from a, I don't know, a factual standpoint about college football?
Going to get to some point where there's teams that are really not capable of winning.
Yeah.
You know, if you went to 24, there'd be team 13 to 24 that just wasn't capable.
Yeah.
But with the 12 that we have, any of them have a chance. And I know SMU lost, and I know, Boise, although Boise really showed up, man. But I think we have the right number, and I think we have all the teams that really are capable of winning the championship are in the doggone tournament. That's what you want.
And I'm not putting words in your mouth here because you may not agree with me. I think it has to be inclusive in the sense of some of those lesser conferences, they play football too. You know what I mean? And like you just said, Boise State and SMU, who saw that coming, right? But they came nonetheless, and Clemson had an off year in terms of win-loss record, but won the ACC and stuff. But the other guys have to be heard from in some sense or another if you're going to call it a national tournament, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just love the fact that the best five conference champions qualify to play in the tournament. That's awesome. There's no automatic qualification. None. Zero. Zip. Best five champions, and then the next seven at large. It's perfect.
Yeah. All right. It's perfect. I personally thought 8 would have been the magic number. Some people now think 16 should be a number. The only thing I don't like about it is I don't like people having byes because it's college football and it's brutal. You know what I mean? When you get to this level. But do you think 12 is the magic number, or do you think, there will be an adjustment sooner rather than later?
Well, we talked about something like 60 some options when we created the 12 team event.
Yeah.
And of course, you would have loved it because there's so many different options and permutations off the options.
Yes.
But the
That's what you
box.
get. That's what you get when you get a committee, but go ahead now.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you have to listen to everything. You have to listen to everybody. Every opinion is important. But what the buys did is they put value on winning the conference championship. And, I've heard people say, well, do away with that. Don't give them buys. Well, wait a minute now. What can you control? You can control if you're a team, you can control winning your conference championship.
Correct.
That's about all you can control. Got to play well, got to try to get it at large. And man, I like the fact that those championships are meaningful.
Yeah.
I'm not in the room anymore. I'm sitting back like you are watching, except I don't get to write about it, doggone it. But I like what we created. I think 12 is a darn good number. And remember this, keep this in mind as time goes by over the next 2 years and three and four. When would we play the games if we added more first round games?
Yeah.
We squeeze them in now up against the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as you know, and they played their two games on that Saturday, and they didn't have great quality competition that I remember, and our viewership held up great.
Yeah.
And it's not all about viewership, but I don't know where we'd fit in four first round games, or more, could be eight. I don't know. I don't know
Yeah.
how we'd do that. That
Yeah.
that's for other people to figure out. But we talked about the problem of scheduling, and it's not going away.
Yeah. I don't
NFL
think.
and the monster, the NFL, eats up all the Saturdays.
Yes. Yeah. And you can't ignore the monster in the room, obviously. But college football, in my opinion, is the second most popular sport in this country too, right? I mean, it's where the NFL came from, when you really think
Yeah,
about
it
the
well,
history.
yeah, it is. It is. And then the viewership numbers all prove it. And how about the passion at those four first round campus games? Unbelievable.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, I agree 100%. See, I thought that was a stroke of genius in this whole thing. Hey, last thing, well, I always say last thing, I have one more, Bill. That's the way at my calling card. Of course, you grew up in Hobart, Oklahoma, went to Oklahoma, University of Oklahoma, if I have that correct. What was that moment in time that put you on the collision course with running the NCAA tournament? And then the BCS, and then the college football playoff. What do you remember that moment in time that, as you look back on it now, if I had not done taken this turn, I would not be sitting here where I am today.
Yeah, the turn for me was starting out in journalism. And I'm not saying that just because you're a journalist, but journalists have to understand people
Yeah.
and they have to pay attention. And really, for me, that was the turn. I mean, I became assistant commissioner of the Big Eight Conference. I got noticed by the NCAA people. I guess you'd say maybe the biggest thing was when they invited me to come be the director of the Final Four. They never had one before and they needed somebody to do it. And I lived in Kansas City and they didn't have to pay my moving expenses. So that's how I got that job. But
You
really, being a journalist, I know how to write, I know how to communicate, I know how to listen. And I got that from being a journalist.
Wow. I gotta ask you one more thing. The book, I wanna look it up and read it. And I've said this to myself several times before because it's not the first time I checked your biography, but Writing with the Blue Moth, why was that? Explain to people the importance of writing that book for you as a still fairly young man, what it meant to you.
Yeah, thank you for asking about that, Tim. We had the ultimate family tragedy was when our son died in a plane crash, and it was the worst thing that you can imagine. It probably worse than any of your listeners can imagine. But I decided, hey, you better do what you want to do when you can do it. And I was a marathon runner, and then I took up bicycling, and I said, I'm going to see if I can ride my bike across the country. I don't want to miss an opportunity. I got a chance to do it. And so did it, rode from LA to Tybee Island, Georgia, at 36 days, remarkable trip. And I sent emails to my friends and family, my two friends and my family, and they said, you ought to write a book about this. So I produced a book, and you can get one on Amazon for, I think it's 19 cents now, Tim. And next time I see you, I'll give you 20 cents and you keep the change. And
Hey.
you might enjoy that book.
See, that's what everybody, my good buddy Jeff Snook. You're good friends with him too, obviously. And he's always raved about you and your down home personality, your ability to talk with people, to like you said, listen to people and stuff. And he thinks that was so important in so many ways when you've got so many blowhards running around, in and
Well,
around this sport. I wanted to ask you
hey,
this.
look,
Go ahead.
let me interrupt and say Jeff's a good guy, but he is a poor judge of character.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know it. I'm a friend of his, and you're a friend of his. There you go. That sums it up. Hey, one last thing though. Did you? I'm thinking you did because you love college football. You love college sports. You love college football. Did you really think this thing would become as big from a money making, TV ratings bonanza that it has, though, Bill? I mean, was it a little bit of a crapshoot? Because I remember their A.D. Geiger was the athletic director at Ohio State back in the 90s for the most part and early 2000s. And he so much emphasized that college football at its heart is a regional sport. You know, will does this region really care once its team's eliminated, if you follow my drift, you know? But, you know, it seems to have captured the imagination here. What do you think?
Yeah, it does. I think BCS and CFP, to follow Andy's comment, really turned the game more from a regional game into a national game. And by the way, didn't the marching band go to Andy's house when he retired and play Carmen, Ohio and the fight song? I mean, Andy was awesome. Anyway, that's what it did. It turned it more from a regional game to a national game. And we are still underperforming in terms of viewership. We college football can do better. There's people out there that don't know about it yet. They're getting to know it because of the momentum that starts with that first round and goes to quarters and semis and now championship game. They're getting there, but we're going to do better, even better in the future.
Ohio State versus Notre Dame. Does it get more marquee value than that? Yeah, you could throw an Alabama up there or Georgia, but Ohio State, Notre Dame, they've only played what, eight times? You know what I mean? In history, I can be in Notre Dame's campus from my house right here in about 4 hours. You understand what I'm saying? But wow, right?
You talk to the casual fan and say, less than casual, non-fan, name two college football teams. Well, Ohio State and Notre Dame.
So there you go. Bill Hancock, thank you once again for joining the Tim May Show. I knew this would be fun. It was. And of course, our stories go long. We'll have more of them over the weekend as Ohio State gets ready to play Notre Dame in the first ever expanded 12-team college football playoff. You can't get much better than that, can you?
It's awesome. It's awesome. I look forward to seeing you this weekend, Tim.